Hey, if you've been feeling any fear, any anxiety, or been triggered lately by anything anyone else has said or done, or you find yourself wanting to avoid doing stuff, procrastinating on it because you just feel overwhelmed, those kinds of feelings, this is going to be a really awesome episode for you because we're going to talk about those feelings and how to shift your energy so that you can move forward and be the person that you want to be and act in ways that make you proud of how you showed up. So before we get on with that, I want to welcome anyone that is new here. This is the Intentional Mind Podcast. We are all about helping you intentionally design your life. And I'm Angela Barnard, and I'm super excited because today we are talking with Shannon Pinkston. And just a little background on Shannon. Shannon was a casting director for years, and she's worked with a lot of actors, you know, helping them get into roles that are a really good fit for them, helping them overcome the fear that's associated with performance and the judgment from other people, all of that stuff. And she is someone who is very intuitive, is really good at reading people's energy, and also helping people shift into higher states where they feel more confident and they feel more better. So I thought, like, what a great person to come on and talk to us about fear, anxiety, triggers, things like that, and how she's working with people. So before we get on with talking with Shannon, I want to give you a little more background around why I want to talk more about this kind of stuff. All right, so many of you know that back in the day, I used to teach a career transition class for the military. So I was the one helping people transition into a civilian job. And when someone's been in the military for a while, this is a huge change. There's a lot of fear and anxiety that comes with that because there's a lot of identity stuff. Like, they're used to being a Marine, a soldier, you know, an airman or sailor, whatever they are. They're used to that identity, and now it's completely changing. So it brings up a lot of stuff for people. And then here I am teaching strategies on how to get a job. And most kind of career coaches will say, like, this is how you do a resume. This is what you say in an interview, blah, 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 right? But I've had enough coach training and I've had enough years of helping people deal with significant challenges and changes in their life that I know at the end of the day, it's not all about a strategy. What it's about is your energy, the energy you bring into the space. And what I used to tell people is that, you know, we can make you look awesome on paper, on the resume, but if you can't get an interviewer to like you, then you're not going to get the job. It doesn't matter how you look like on a piece of paper, how you look like on LinkedIn. If someone doesn't like you, you're not getting the job. We are tribal kinds of creatures. That's how our brain is wired. And we're always thinking about, do I want to bring this person into my tribe or not? Do I like them or not? Do I feel good around them? Do I feel like they could contribute to my team or my tribe? Like, this is the stuff that's happening even at a subconscious level. So what I'm trying to say here is that it's not all about being necessarily liked. I'm not saying that you should be so focused around what other people think about you. I'm actually saying the opposite. What I'm saying is that you should be focused on the kind of energy that you're generating into a space. And in fact, when you show up from this place of, like, you're genuine, people feel that and they like it. Because the number one thing people don't like is when someone is not genuine. And when you show up from this place of you're confident in yourself, and you know your values, you know your strengths, it's like you have this contagious energy that people want to be around. I always like to talk about it as, like, going back to dating. You know how if somebody's all, like, desperate and they're like, please be with me, and they're all, like, needy and stuff, it's like the thing that repels you from that person. But if they show up and they're like, I know my self-worth, I know what I have to offer, and they're coming from this place of, like, I'm curious to know if we're a good fit, this kind of energy is contagious. So what I'm trying to say here is that energy is a conversation that a lot of people, I think in a lot of different industries, are not talking about enough because they're too afraid that they're going to be perceived as, like, woo or, like, way out there, and then no one's going to want to listen to them. But it's something that we need to talk about, because you can't deny that your energy isn't affecting your results. You can't deny that the self-doubt, the blame, the hate, the judgment towards yourself or others, like, that's not holding you back in any way. Like, you can't deny that. And that's an energy thing. You know what it feels like to be around someone, like I always say, that's super negative. You know what it feels like to be around someone that's super positive. So why I'm talking about this is because people aren't talking enough about it. And I think that it's holding a lot of people back. And I don't want to be the one that just shows up and gives you strategies without helping you clear the stuff that is holding you back. And here I am sitting here saying that it's important to be your authentic self, like show up as the real you. And I want to practice what I preach, because what I believe in is that everything is made up of energy. Our energy dictates our results. The energy stems from our thoughts, our beliefs, all of that stuff. I believe that that's playing a role in who we are becoming. I believe that God has given us our minds as tools to use to do our work in the world, and that it's our responsibility to manage our mind, to check in with it and see, is like, am I using it in the way that is helpful to me? Am I generating the right kind of energy that's in alignment with what I want to create and who I want to be? Those are my beliefs. And I've had people say to me, like, concerns that, oh, maybe Angie's walking away from the Lord because she's talking about this energy stuff. And I'm just being completely real with you guys. Like, I've had people say this stuff to me. And I laugh about it because I'm like, no, like, I know my relationship with God. I think it's a personal relationship with God that I have. I know my heart. I know my intentions. And I also know that what it feels like to have my energy in a space that feels really good, that I feel like where I'm in the state of flow and things just like, it's like I have all these God winks, as I would call them, and these amazing things happen. And I really feel like that's me tapping into the power of God that He's given me, like Holy Spirit, intuition, all of those things. Right? And I'm okay. I'm sitting here saying I'm okay with people not liking me. I'm okay with them thinking I'm a nutcase. I'm totally fine with that, because I remember standing in front of the group of Marines and telling them the number one thing you need to get down is your energy. And at first I thought they'd be all resistant to it, right? But then I was like, wow, like they loved hearing about this because they got it. They understood that it does their success, if you will, of their transition depends on who they're being, what kind of energy they're generating, and their thoughts, and all of that. And I also believe when you get into a higher state, I feel like it feels like you have better communication with God. Like, that's, these are my thoughts. So anyways, guys, I'm just saying, I'm being brave. I'm stepping into the space of saying, this is how I really think and feel, and I'm okay if people don't agree with me, and if they don't want to listen to me anymore. I'm okay with that. And I want to say too, for all my people listening who also fall into that trap of being so concerned about what other people think, that I really do believe that if you show up as your true self, you know, and you say what you truly believe, the right people will stick around and be with you, and the other people will be repelled from you. And that's okay, because you know what? You probably don't want to hang out with them either. You know, like, that's how I see it. I have so much fun talking to my friends, my fellow coaches, my mentors about all of this stuff. And we're like, we all get it. Like, we see this, and it's so fun to talk to them. And if other people like can't see it and they don't get it, it's not as fun to talk to them. You know what I mean? So I'm about, like, I want to enjoy my life. I want to have fun. I believe that that's what God put me on earth to do, to enjoy my life. I know there's going to be suffering. I'm a human being. We're all going to experience that as part of the human experience. But I also know that we're gifted, every single one of us, in different ways. And we're here to shine a light in a different space, in a different way. So anywho, I don't know why, but I felt like I just needed to say that. So let's hear from Shannon. Here we go. I was listening to one of your podcasts earlier, and you were talking about how so many of us do this energy work. Like, you know, I just didn't even think about myself. Like, I'm helping shift around people's mindset, and in a sense, then shifting their energy. And it looks very different from the work that you're doing. But I love that you said something like, basically, like, you're like the puppies and kitties version of it. And like, I feel like yeah. that's so true, because it's almost like your energy, you show up and it's like you're giving people a hug, you know, and you really do shift them from that state of feeling so down, or, you know, just like at that lower level, like, because you just show up with this beautiful energy. And I'm like, I'm not really sure how you do it, but you happen to be the puppies and kitties to people.
You know, you're so sweet. It's so funny. I've always been an animal whisperer, and I've always loved them, and they've always been drawn to me, like puppies, babies, and, you know, kittens. And I guess it's the thing I always needed the most, because I didn't have a lot of touchy feely huggy around me. So yeah. I guess I've just generated that, you know, and cultivated it. And yeah. And I am that weirdo that stands on a corner and will hold my arms out to strangers, because I feel them and I know they need it, and they just walk right in, and I'm like, come on. But yeah. And my energy work that I do, besides the virtual stuff that I've been doing during COVID, when I have people in person, it's very hands-on, and I feel the warmth and stuff in them and help shift it that way too. But yeah, I'm very touchy feely and empathic really with my energy work. Like, yeah, I hold space and help it shift that way.
That's what I love, because, you know, I'm very much of the, not the puppies and kitties version, but the version of like, Shannon and I were just talking about planning her week, right? So yeah. I'm like, Shannon, we're going to do this time, right? We're going to, and I'm more of like the, I don't know how to describe it. What would you describe it as, Shannon?
It's perfect that you picked intentional too, because yours is so crisp, and it's like, it's a real can do kind of thing. It's very upbeat, but very organized. And you're just, your way of helping people energetically is like, all right, let's get in there. Let's get it done. It's super motivational, but it's real no nonsense too, which I appreciate about you. But you've got great energy. Like I told you, I was like, you have, you know, like I said, on Spinal Tap, you know, they go to 10, but you go to 11, but it's not fake. Your energy is just so, it's like a buoyancy. It's like an intentional bubbliness. That's so good, but you're structured really with it. Well, you're awesome. And I am not structured. I never have been. I'm a shoes are optional, you know, at work. And I don't, half the time I can't find them kind of a person. I've always been that way, but I'm, you know, super hippie. But when I was a casting director, I was the same way. I'm like, shoes are optional at work. I have my dogs with me, like, come in and we're going to play. And so, you know, that, I think that's where I got the touchy feely huggy energy thing from, was, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that I worked with for 25 years.
And people don't know this, but as I'm looking at you right now, you're recording from your Airstream. So Shannon lives in an Airstream. So we have like the tiny house vibes together. And yep. I love that about you. I love that you show up as your true self, and the fact that you spent so many years working in the acting industry. Can you tell us about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fascinating. I didn't realize how intuitive I was when I was doing that, but I was a casting director. I worked all around the world. I was based out of Dallas, but I was kind of a scavenger hunter for specialty types and stuff. So I would end up having to go into huge crowds and kind of feel my way into who was interesting and had the story and the thing and the timeline and the information that they would want to feature an entire commercial around. And so that's sort of how I ended up realizing that I could see auras and feel into people and know when they popped. And I couldn't ever figure out why my assistants never could see that in people. I just thought they were kind of slackers sometimes, but it turns out I just read people really well. But you spend, you know, you see hundreds of thousands of people in a 30-year career, you really learn to read into them quickly. And I had to, with my auditions, like, figure out what lit them up fast, how to get them bubbly and sparkly and high vibe and bring out the absolute best in them. And so I just, weirdly enough, honed it doing that. But now I get to spend like 90 minutes with them in my sessions instead of, you know, 30 seconds yeah. to a minute. And it's so rewarding to be like, oh, now I get to really feel into you and really find like what's below what lights you up. And I love it. But it was a great career. I really enjoyed it. It taught me how to be fearless and just expansive and be, you know, be anywhere in the world and be comfortable in my own skin. So that authenticity thing and just that gypsy vibe that you have when, you know, when you're working in mm-hmm. another country and you don't even speak the language. And, you know, I'd be there by myself sometimes working on projects with people, you know, in other countries.
I feel that around your energy, as far as like, I feel like the level that you're at, like you talk, like it's like this flow state where people are their true self. Like, you're able to help them get into that. I think sometimes with me, I can be so in my head. and just like overthinking. But there's been times where I feel like I've been training in front of a room and I just like flow and I feel it. But it's not like sometimes, especially when I'm on stepping into new territory, like a lot of us are, all that fear and stuff shows up. So what are your tips for like shifting out of that and back into our true state is what I believe it is.
Yeah, it is so hard because once you get up into your head and you start overthinking everything, like it goes false and it takes you out of that grounded place you need to be. So what I've always, taught actors and now I teach my coaching clients is really be intentional with your breath, like ground your body, breathe really deep into yourself. Like just try to become expansive again, because that fear contracts you. That fear just turns you inward. It makes you turtle. It makes like everything. So you've got to do what you can to open up, bring more breath into your body, mm-hmm. bring more lightness, just get out of your head and drop into your heart as much as you can, which is why, a lot of my questions, whether it's coaching or, working with actors is what really makes your soul sing? What lights you up? Let's talk about the heart things. Like, let's talk about your babies and your cats and your dogs and the things that you love, because that shifts them back into, it gets you out of your head and into your heart. But it's hard to do when you're, especially as actors or on camera, people, whatever performance it is that you do, that fear just, it just makes you turtle.
Paralyzes you.
Yeah, it paralyzes. So you've got to figure out a really quick way to morph, into a more expansive state.
Like I was saying earlier in a video, and I've seen you post similar videos around this, is like, with dealing with anxiety, how like if you can't manage your mind around it, because in the moment it's so hard, you're going into that, the runaway or freeze kind of mode. And exactly. The sympathetic nervous system is so activated. And you're in that fear mode. So it's hard for you to be thinking like, I should be thinking that, like, you're just not at that point. So what I say then is you shift it to your body, because your mind and body are talking. So if you can open your body, if you can change the position, pretend almost like you were the confident person, after 2 minutes, now we're releasing the right kinds of hormones to do the shift. Because so it's like just recognizing that we always have options of like, if we are in stuff, we're humans, we're going to shift all the time from these higher to lower levels. But there are ways that we can do our own shifting work, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And harness the energy of that fear. Everybody thinks that the fear is going to go away. No, it's not. It's a beautiful energy in itself if you don't let it shut you down. If you can grab onto it and like just get the excitement of it and sort of shake it out of your body, that excess level of it, but hang on to it and realize that you're only fearful because you are wanting to be there and you're excited and you want to do your best. Like
that is the key, like, that you said, you're excited. The shift. Because you've heard people say, that nervousness and excitement, it's the same kind of energy. Like, it's the same thing. It just depends on what you label it. When you start labeling it as something like I'm nervous and I'm scared, then the response ends up being very different. But the energy, the way it feels in the body, because I think about when I was getting married, like I was so like excited to marry my husband, but it felt just like nervousness. Like it felt like the butterflies, and you could think of it, if I wanted to put it down that negative path, but I was like, I'm excited for this. Yeah, this is new territory, but then it just changes how I show up when I label it differently.
And again, it's that mindset thing too. Mm-hmm. What, is this happening to me or is it happening for me? Well, the fear is happening for you to propel you forward. It's an indication that it's something you really want. You wouldn't be afraid if you didn't want it. But man, just latch onto it and let it just push yourself slightly over the edge of it. And then it just becomes an amazing thing. And I say that from experience, because I was a singer forever and I got so fearful singing that I stopped singing for like 30 years. And I probably should have done it professionally. Like it's one of my favorite things to do. And my biggest flow state is just opening up my throat and going for it. But I had to take a performance class 3 years ago that I was so terrified. I thought, if I don't open that up, I will never be able to like speak myself authentically into the world. And I mean, I was so nervous with the fear, even though I have taught fear and pushing through and grounding and all that stuff my whole life, I hadn't done it for me. And like, I was so terrified that I was throwing up in the parking lot before class and I was messing up in class and all that. But I pushed through. And that's the only way that I was able to get to the point where I opened up my throat chakra to the point that it was free and able to express all these things that I'm expressing now. I mean, that's what, when you say that I feel like flow and good energy and high vibe, it's because I pushed through that. Like I was so fearful for so long that, and I won, like I got through it. And so that's why I was able to just out myself as intuitive and psychic. Like I had opened up my ability to speak my truth. I can sing it now. I can speak it. I can podcast. I can do all the things that I had stuffed. I just let the fear turn me inside out. And so now I'm actually practicing what I preach with a vengeance. And it just feels so good. And
people that's what can I feel want it. For everyone is to feel that way. Too. Like to feel what too. It feels like to what I would say be in alignment. And I think this has to do with like, we all feel fear. You just gave a story of experiencing fear. I feel it all the time. I'm always putting myself in situations where I feel afraid. Like the camera turns on, I don't know who's on there, or I have this interview thing or whatever, pitching myself, I don't know. And I feel that fear, but it's all about what you decide to do with it and what you want to make it mean. That's the point I want to make here, is because even on the energy level scale that I'm always teaching around, it's all about what you make something mean, because that's when we're placed, when we place the meaning on it, that's when we're the energy changes then. It's interesting. You know what I mean by that?
Well, you alchemize it at that point. When you're able to stop being a victim of it and you claim it and you turn it around, you have alchemized that and you've shifted that energy into a place where you have power over it and you become an empowered, authentic, grounded, you know, flowing person. And I kick back into it, but I could feel it now. Like it feels foreign to me anymore, that fear. So it feels like that flutter and it'll start to move up. And then I just look at it and go, huh. Like there's a curiosity about it. Ooh, now, I instead of it. Oh my God, I got to stuff it. There's oh, look at you. Okay. I see you. Okay. So what's underneath that? Oh, I'm just excited. I got a little nerves. Let's breathe into it. Let's just let witness it. You know, be a screen and just let that energy of fear just blow through. And then I'm like, okay, cool. Now let's go.
I love that you said you get curious about it, because that's the one thing I'm always telling people is like, when something shows up, instead of like resisting it or judging it, like coming from, you know, when I say judging it, it's almost like this is bad, you know, kind of thing. Get curious about it. Like, wonder what that's about. And truly, that is a higher energy level. Like on the scale that I teach around, it's a 5. So it's pretty high up there out of 5 to 7. And it's just always, just in a nutshell, instead of getting mad, get curious. It's always going to serve you.
Yeah, absolutely. Because your power is in anything is how you react to what's happening. Mm-hmm. And that's what all the mindfulness and all the meditation and all the things that you do is designed to help you. It's like something will trigger you, fear or anxiety or, you know, stress or whatever will come to trigger you, but it's how you react to it. So if you've trained yourself and grounded yourself and balanced yourself to the point that you could just stop for a second, just take a pause and go, okay. Well, the old me would have, you know, gotten Irish and reacted and been angry or, you know, whatever, but the new me knows I love me enough to be still. Look at it, just breathe and make a better choice. I choose to be, you know, proactive with stuff instead of reactive.
Because I need to take responsibility about why did it trigger me so bad? Why was it so hurtful? Why was I on the ground in tears over what someone said to me, having a hard time getting up? What in me caused me to react that way? I mean, not that it was okay, but you know what I mean? And it was really because you pushed a button around my not good enoughness that was already there.
Exactly. But you don't know it's there. Yeah. You can't clear it until it's time. And that's the thing. People are like, oh, I should have known better. Well, you can't. It's like all the healing is it's layers of an onion. You know, you peel back a layer or two and you're good for a while. And then something triggers you and you go, okay, curious about that. Let's peel back those layers. So you just keep doing it because it's all these subconscious things that are running you.
Totally.
Like I had some money trauma that was church related that formed when I was 5. And that has been the lens through which I have lived my entire adult life and managed my finances and managed, like I had this thing, you can't be spiritual and make money. So I make great money as a casting director, but I hemorrhaged it away because you can't be spiritual and have it. So it's fascinating.
John Azaroff says, Sorry.
I don't know who that is. No, I'm excited. I don't know who that is.
So what he says is like, you can't outperform your identity, basically. Like that subconscious, those beliefs, you can't outperform that. So if there's right. stuff deeper, like that are hidden, like identity wise, like even me, like, you know, like growing up around like poverty, like, oh, I'm always going to need to like worry about money. Like there might be a thought like around that, a
scarcity mindset.
Yeah. And just yeah. understanding, like I'm still doing the work around that. And I've been able to, I feel like, open up and I have more financial abundance, but that was reprogramming, lots of reprogramming that I had to do. Having the Absolutely. Confidence to stand in front of a room like I do now to speak and stuff, lots of reprogramming. Because I grew up, my dad like won't even look at people to make eye contact back. Like I remember watching him and him being so timid. That was what was modeled to me. So yep. that was stuff that I've had to constantly reprogram. But I think a lot of us aren't aware of, I mean, we're not because of subconscious stuff, but energy wise, we can feel stuff. Like there's stuff holding us back and we can feel it. I yeah. mean, I think everyone can agree with that.
Absolutely. And you get it from your initial two cells that form you. You're the energy of the cell from your mom and the cell from your dad and that environment that you're born in. Yeah. You're absorbing it all energetically from the moment of conception. So it's ingrained in there super deep, but you know, it's a process. That's why they call it the hero's journey, you know, to go mm-hmm. through it and to be brave and to walk through all the landmines of those traumas and to unearth them and figure out, but you know how it feels when you get one and you pull it up and then you heal it and you empower yourself. And you're like you just feel bulletproof after that, which oh, especially when so you get good. The really big ones, you're just like, oh my gosh. Cause yeah, if you want to feel better, you want to know what my dad's, father of the bride speech was at my wedding. He's my dad's very shy and invisible too, which is where I learned my invisibility from that I had to unlearn. He walked up on stage. He looked out at everybody. He looked at my husband and he said, well, thanks for coming. And he looked at my husband and said, are you sure you want her? And he walked off stage. Wow. That was his father of the bride speech. So there's been a lot of having to heal wounds like that mm-hmm. in me to get to the place of like love and compassion that I want to be at with my parents, because I want to be good to them in, you know, in their old age. And it's been interesting. We've been estranged a lot off and on over the years, but like I mentioned to you earlier, when we were chatting, like I have gone from fighting back at them to resisting their behavior, to wanting it to be different. And I've settled in a place now through my healing of just allowing them to be who they are and yes. just loving them warts and all. And because I'm not pushing back, like I have softened energetically with them, they're not being as abrasive. Mm-hmm. They're not being as difficult. They don't lash out in the same way. So we have this much softer way just within the last 3 months or so of being with each other. And yeah. it's amazing. Like they're shifting because I'm doing my inner work. And that's it's how like, it works.
You know, be the change that you want to see, right? It totally yeah. goes back to that. And I'm always reminding people of that because in myself constantly, because there's been a lot of things like my parents have hurt me in different ways. You know, I've all that wedding stuff. There was a lot of stuff that I've been working through, but what serves me is to show up from that place and that mindset of believing that everybody does the best that they can, given their experiences, given what they're yep. going through. It always serves me. And people are like, well, how can you say that? Like this person's doing the best that they can. And I'm like, given their mindset, you know, like if you're at a higher awareness, you show up differently. And now it makes it so instead of showing up from a place of judgment towards them, I'm showing up from this place of non-judgment, mm-hmm. of love, you know, like, and it even goes beyond, I feel like behind just the love part, but more of like, I'm not attached. It's just like, okay, let them be themselves.
Just let it be. I mean, the Beatles had it right. Just let it be. You know, it is what it is. Resisting mm-hmm. it, just whatever you resist really does persist and it grows. Yes. So whatever you're focused on expands. So if you're focused on what you don't want, that truly gets bigger. But if you focus on what you do want or just relax into what is and just allow it to be, it dissipates. It just gets easier. And yet you can't always, like I still get triggered. I've got a bonehead neighbor that's doing dumb stuff. And I caught myself getting triggered, you know, last week. And I'm like, okay, you're focusing on it. Like you're just going to make it worse. Yeah. And it did really quickly. So it gave me another chance to be like, okay, let's be curious. What do we learn here? how do we react differently? Like, let's be a good person, like be who you are.
What and about it's settled. Your intuition? Like, how do you feel, like, what is the intuition's role in all of this?
Man, I think it informs everything because, you know, it's that still little quiet place of, you know, it's God speaking to you. It's the whisper of your soul. It's your higher self, whatever you want to, you know, think that it is, but it's just that goodness that tells you the right way to go. So when you listen to it, it keeps you safe. It moves you in the right direction. It gives you, you know, the next step that you need to take. I've always listened to it, and it has just been it's been the light that was always at the end of the tunnel. That little whisper, mm-hmm. just keeping me moving forward. It's like that little spark of joy that I never lost. It's that intuitive whisper of just, sweetie, it's going to be okay. Just do this next best thing that will get you out of, you know, this place of darkness that it always has.
So for those that are thinking, like, you know how people always want to seek wisdom from other people, like, help me, tell me what to do. What do you think stops them from listening to their own intuition? Because I know you and I both believe that the answers are being given to them.
Yeah. You get in your head and you fight it. And I try to help my dad with this because he's real intuitive, but he argues with it. So the very first thing that you hear or feel or know, because, you know, intuition can come in so many different ways. It can be a psychic hit. It can be a knowing. It can be a smell. It can be something you hear. It can be a feeling. It comes in so many different ways. But the first thing that you get, that's the truth. Then you start arguing with it. Then you go, no, that can't be right. No, that I think I'm going to, like, I get a lot, you know, exit here when I'm towing the Airstream. And so I will immediately exit and I will get off and there will be a horrible accident or something that I would have been behind for 4 hours or possibly been in, you know, that I go past on the access road. So it's always served me. But if I argue with it and go, well, I want to keep going because I'm going to be late or whatever, you can, but you get stuck, you know, in some way. So you just have to, you have to train yourself to listen to it and value it. I always counsel people, you know, my clients and friends, like, chart your intuitive hits, like jot them down, see the synchronicities of it. Like have a little intuition journal in your pocket and start charting them and paying attention to them because it's a muscle that you build like anything else. And once you start getting confident in it, boy, it gets louder and stronger and richer. And then you start having these just amazing experiences. Like, I mean, my life would have been so different if I hadn't started listening to it well and early on, because I play this game. It's an improv game, but it's yes. And is an improv game. And it's basically you say yes to the universe or yes to God. And then you add your part in it. So that to me is what intuition is. You get the knowing, you're like, yes, I hear it. And I'm going to act on it. And I'm going to run with it. And I'm going to add this gift that I've got to it. And then, you know, universe, God goes, yes, that's perfect. And let me give you this info. And you go, yes. And you take it. And so that's how you build this amazing life that is really authentic, really true to you, because you've turned the other part, I think, is, you know, your intuition is sort of the frequency of your soul. It's the energetic frequency of your soul. You learn to hear it and dial into it and keep yourself vibrationally in that zone where it's really clear and loud. And then you just get more gifts that pile on top of it. Like, I'm just getting some crazy intuitive and psychic gifts that keep coming because I get clearer and listen more. And you have to have gratitude about it too. Like, I am so grateful every time I get any kind of an intuitive hit from me or a client. 9 times out of 10, I cry because I'm just so grateful to have that wisdom. It just feels so sacred, like flowing through me to someone else. Cause I know I'm not doing it. I have to be as clean and clear, you know, as a conduit to let that information come through for my clients. But I'm so grateful when it does.
I love that you say like a conduit. Cause I hear that all the time from people that I admire, you know, that have wrote books, that just have done amazing things in the world. And they're like, this was like a download. This just like came through me. And some people are like, well, that's weird. But I feel like God is always speaking to us. We're always mm-hmm. having, like, there, we have that relationship. Like, we as children of God have that relationship to communicate. We all do. But some of us just like to resist it so much. And we all have examples and stories in our lives where you knew, we always say, I knew in my heart, that's always yep. what people say, that I shouldn't have done that. Like, you got that intuitive hit. And I know that right. you had a relationship in the past. You got the intuitive hit. Like, no, this is not the person you're supposed to be with. I had the same yeah. thing. Didn't listen. What happened? Yep. You know? Yep. Kind of reminds
so,
yeah, me of
so
like,
you can keep going, you can push through, you know, yeah. like my dad did. He had an intuition to stay out of this particular intersection all the time. He went to the intersection, he got run over by a hit and run driver because he didn't listen to it. He argued with that intuition for a year. Now mm-hmm. he made it, he's okay now, but he will not trust his intuition. And that it kills me. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's what I teach people. And you don't want to listen to it. But I think for some people, it's because they feel like there is a separation from God and that that's not where that intuition comes from. But it truly
so
is.
Glad you're
oh my
that.
Gosh. It's the most divine connectedness that mm-hmm. there is. It feels holier than anything I've ever experienced. You know, we're all interconnected and we never became disconnected from God. And he's always going, hey, I'm right here. Listen, I've got you. I've got your back.
I see signs. Mm-hmm. I always say all the time of God, like, you know, God winks constantly, little symbol, yeah. like repeated numbers, little things where I'm like, just reminded of the goodness of God. And I always, actually yep. say one of my mantras is I'm in alignment and connected to God. And mm-hmm. I think things flow easily, like to me, like when I'm at those states and people will be like, I can't believe that happened to you. And I'm like, they're like, you're always like creating all these amazing opportunities. And I'm like, you can too. It's like yep. you tap in, like hold on to like the relationship that you have with God, like listen for it. Like it's, you know, that's what I think about it. When I think about your intuition, like just listen. And a lot of us won't be still enough to listen. And we're already right. We're trying to control too much that we don't even allow that wisdom to come in, you know?
Yep. That's true. And like we talked about earlier, you have to clear the traumas and the heavy stuff.
Yeah.
To let the intuition get louder. But so many people don't want to sit still because that's when the dark stuff starts chatting too. So meditation is hard for so many people because they start hearing the things that they don't want to hear and mess with. But you have to do that. It's like if you want your ship to really sail, you've got to offload a bunch of that ballast of the trauma. You've got to work on it and dump it overboard. And the more you do, the more buoyant your ship is. So you go from being, you know, this big, heavy steamship thing to, you know, just a sailboat mm-hmm. when you offload more and you just start having a beautiful adventure.
Beautiful image of that, because I feel like that's how it feels like when you feel lighter. Mm-hmm. I also talk about it as like catabolic energy that drains you, that is destructive to your cells, like that kind of energy that we're holding onto is not only causing disease in our body, like dis-ease, your body's yes. not in a state of ease. Not only is it doing that, but it's also holding us down from being the people that I believe God has called us to be. Because you can't, it's like a hot air balloon and you have these sandbags holding you down. And it doesn't take a lot to hold you down. You can hold a right. big hot air balloon down with a little bit of sandbags. So mm-hmm. how can we like release those? And you have to be willing to do the work. And I feel like even like stuff with sitting down and like journaling your thoughts, like making time for that, like letting, like noticing what's going on in the mind when you sit mm-hmm. and you be still, like that's like the first step. But like, as you said, it's not always comfortable, but if you want to fly high, if you want to, you know, have your sailboat, sail well, you're going to need mm-hmm. to deal with that stuff. Release.
Yeah, you got to offload the heavy stuff. And you're exactly right, because I stuffed everything and I stayed so locked in trauma and I was so porous. It felt like I was a huge container for everybody's darkness, really is what it was mm-hmm. in my family. And it was so deep in me and I didn't know how to offload it that I literally almost died from like Lyme disease and mold poisoning and a series of things. And I was suicidal. Like my body was like 60 pounds heavier. I literally bloated from the heaviness of it and from the inflammation, but it was so much was energetic and spiritual too. So much of it was just darkness and heaviness. So I had to literally heal myself from the, like just from the energetic body inside out, like spiritually, mentally, physically, all of it. And the more,
all connected.
The more you fix, it is. And then you fix one level and then something else, you know, yep, just shifts. And so that's, but it's the work of your lifetime, because.
And there's layers, you know, and layers and layers. There's just so many layers. And even as we, yeah, start up leveling, our stuff shows up, more of it. And we're working through that. And
yep,
I'm just so glad to have this conversation. Shannon, tell us where we can find you. Cause one, everyone needs to know that I love your podcast. It's like, you're such a joy to listen to, truly. Like, aww. I know why they call you the intuitive joy whisperer, because it really feels that way. Like, it's just so relaxing and you're the best storyteller. So tell us where we can find you and everything that you're up to.
You were so sweet. Thank you for saying that. The podcast is Adventures of the Airstream Oracle, and you can reach me at hello@shannonpinkston.com. That's my email. You can find me on Instagram at @airstream_oracle. And I do one-on-one intuitive sessions. I've also got a Facebook group, Dragonfly Energy Wellness and Empath Support. So reach out, and we do fun stuff in there, intuitive training and lots of soul conversations. And
yeah, it's things. A super fun group, and all of your stuff is super empowering. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, sweetie.
All right, y'all. I hope that you really enjoyed that episode. You know where to find Shannon. Remember, all the details to this episode can always be found if you click details on the episode, but also on my website, intentionalmindpodcast.com. If you have any questions or anything, please feel free to reach out to me at any time. Leave a review if you haven't. I'm just going to keep saying it. If you like this show, please leave a review. All right. Love you guys. Have an awesome day. Bye.